Reese Hoskins, welcome back to spring training. Another one in Arizona for you. I'm sure last year was a bit more of an adjustment than this year's, but the biggest adjustment for you is dad life. Congratulations to you, and how have things been in this past eventful offseason for you?
Yeah, Dom, appreciate you, first of all, having me back. Yeah, being a dad, being a parent is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, but also the most rewarding. You know, she's growing faster than I've ever would have thought. I've heard from, you know, multiple either teammates that have kids or my parents or my wife's parents that, you know, the days may seem long, but the months and years go by faster than you'll ever know. And I've learned that pretty quick. So Rory's been great. We're learning something new every day about her, about being parents. And we're just trying to enjoy every moment that we have, especially now that we're getting into the season. And, you know, time is of the essence with just us traveling so much. So soaking up every minute we can in spring, and then off we'll go.
When you sit back and look back at that series in Philly and the reception you got, now that there is a little bit of distance from that, for you and Jamie and for everyone around you in your orbit, what did that truly mean to you, of just to see some familiar faces but also get the recognition that you got? Was that a big hurdle for you to clear last year?
Yeah, I don't know, so much a hurdle, right? Like, I definitely didn't go back there expecting that. Was pretty overwhelming, to be completely honest, in the best type of way. Emotional. You know, obviously I got to see a bunch of people that I grew up around, essentially, from a 24-year-old kid trying to find his way, make a career for himself. And then, you know, I left there as a 31-year-old and married and lived there and, you know, kind of became a man, so to say, there in Philadelphia. So, yeah, it was a special moment. It's something that, you know, I'll never forget, really. I think it's one of the many cool things that this sport that we love can provide its fans, its athletes, and I think it's those type of moments that, you know, through the ups and downs that baseball can bring, it's those types of things that really stick out. So really cool for me, really cool for my family, and, you know, it's just cool to see that. You know, maybe I did a few things right in my time there, which is pretty special.
And part of that is you earning the Marvin Miller Philanthropic Award this past year. And
yeah,
that's an honor that, quite frankly, that the Roberto Clemente Award, it's so hard to pick one, obviously. But to have that from your peers and to have that from the union and to have that from his name on that, how do you react to earning something like that?
Yeah, it's super humbling. I think the biggest part of that is it's selected by your peers, these people that, you know, you're in this crazy industry, this crazy life with, you know, going through the day to day, trying to figure out how to be the best baseball player, night in and night out. But also the fact that guys recognize that, you know, a lot of effort goes into being a good human as well. You know, philanthropic endeavors have always been something that have been important in my life, really starting in high school. That was just something that was a requirement of us. I went to a Jesuit high school and we had to do, you know, community service essentially to graduate. So it kind of turned in from something that felt like something that I had to do, and now it's something that I really enjoy doing. There's nothing like volunteering your time and your effort, and I think that people in need really recognize that, and that's just a special thing for a community, but also for yourself if you can think about it in some sort of selfish way. So yeah, special award, that's one that stays on the mantle for sure. Something that I'll be proud to, you know, share with my family throughout the rest of my life. but just really cool that, you know, we've gotten to impact now a couple different communities, you know, throughout my career, and we look forward to continuing that.
We're chatting with Reese Hoskins here on WTMJ. Let's talk a little ball now. I mean, 27 homers a year ago. Yep. We were joking with Pat Murphy earlier in camp, just, yeah, 27 homers, most players would be super thrilled with that, but he kind of hinted that maybe that's not a number you're happy with, even though you spent a whole season off. Is there truth to that, and how do you assess last season for you?
Some truth for sure, right? I will tell you straight up, like, I know there's more in there. I assess last season as a success in the fact that I played 130 games, coming off a, you know, a pretty major injury and missing a full season. Really, I felt like if I was able to get the games played, that usually the counting statistics usually tend to show up. I missed a little bit of time with a hamstring, but, you know, just the fact that I was able to basically stay off the injured list without any knee issues was a huge success in itself. I bookended the year pretty well, pretty normal for what I'm, you know, used to seeing in terms from a production standpoint. The thing that we're always chasing in this game is consistency, and that's really what I'm after this year. Just being a consistent force within this lineup that Murph knows, you know, he can throw me out there every single day, and I got a chance to produce at the plate every night. So excited for more games this year. I already told Murph my goal this year is 150, and I feel like, you know, some of those home run numbers, the RBI numbers, the other numbers that we really look at, especially in terms of, quote, power hitters, I think those will show up if the 150 game mark is there. So I'm super stoked that, you know, I got a full year under my belt again, a full off season where I'm not rehabbing an injury, really ready to hit the ground running here.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
When you assess the postseason, it's sort of a different bucket. And I know you have postseason experience, and it wasn't the postseason that neither you or the crew wanted.
Yep.
And that's kind of the worst taste to have in your mouth all offseason. What do you look back on, if there's any positives, or if you just want to be real, and if it's all negative of the fact that you came up short?
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality is, like, that is a crushing loss, right? You know, I come back and tie a series and then have exactly the guy on the mound that we want on the mound, you know, with a couple huge emotional home runs previously in that game that really, you know, you just felt it in the stadium that this was – it all was set up for us to continue on in the playoffs, which really, you know, in a baseball sense, like, that's what you can control, and after that, it's really up to whatever is going to happen. But the way I think I look at it is that those crushing moments really are huge from a development standpoint, because we're going to find ourselves in moments like that again, and you remember that, right? We as perfectionists, we as baseball players, tend to remember negatives more than positives, because we're always chasing more. And we will find ourselves in that position. We have now experience with those huge moments. And I think, you know, in the long run, you really believe that you're better off for that. So especially, look, like you said, I have some postseason experience. I've been super bad in the postseason, and I've had some really cool postseason moments where success has shown up. But the more you find yourself in those moments, the more you believe that you're going to come through in the end. And especially for our young guys, where that was kind of the first time tasting that, that type of crushing loss, I think, can be a positive in the long run.
So sort of a vulnerable follow-up to that is, you were pinch hit for with Jake.
Sure.
And, you know, to somebody on the outside, you know, here's a guy that's played in the major market, that's played in the postseason, that understands his role, and then the guy came in after him and gave the team the lead. I know you're a great teammate. I know you're a class act. And I know that the competitor is like, wish that was me. How do you react to everything that went down in the eighth inning before ultimately what happened in the ninth?
Yeah, look, like, I I'd be lying to you if I said I would. Of course, I want to be in that. I want to be in that the next time as well. But the playoffs has a different feel to it, where it really doesn't matter what number 12 does, or number 9, or number 22, or number 11. It's really what the Brewers are able to do. The pennant up there, the flag up there says Brewers, and that's the type of thing that you're just happy to be a part of something that's a little bit bigger than yourself, because you have a chance to do something that's legacy building, be a part of something that lasts forever, right? Flags fly forever is what they say. So nobody likes to be that guy. But the reality is, whether or not we win or lose that game, I had a part in that game that led to that moment. And really cool for Jake to be ready to step in and provide a huge spark off the bench and put us ahead. Looking forward to whenever the next big moment comes, because they're on the way.
Moving to a more positive front and into 2025, you're one of the returning pillars on this team. You're one of the guys that Murph has praised, and you're in the pillar meetings, those monthly check-ins. Can you give us a little picture of what the room is like for you guys? And obviously there's going to be a few pieces departed from those meetings, but how you take that role as seriously as you do to be one of the veteran leaders on this club?
Yeah, well, just to give you a little perspective of that room, right, it's an honest room. It's not always pretty, but the old saying is that brothers tend to fight. Mm-hmm. And you get through those hard times of the season when everything is out on the table and everybody knows where everyone's coming from. So it's super cool that Murph, provides us that forum. And I think as a whole and as a team, we as some of those older veteran guys can kind of put the rest of the clubhouse in a good position to keep on keeping on, basically. I was lucky in Philly to have some older presence, really great presence, to give some perspective. All of the cliche things that you hear, but it's so true. It's a long season. We're obviously playing to win tonight, but you kind of always have to have a long-term goal in mind. And that's a role that, like you said, it's an important one in any clubhouse, because sometimes there are young guys that really don't know what is next. And just having people that have done it before kind of leading the way is comforting for those guys and allows the most talent, I think, to come out on the field.
When it comes to the youth of this team, Jackson obviously comes to mind, but yet you sit and you look and, okay, Sal's only played 2 seasons. Bryce has only played 2 seasons. Joey had a cup of coffee and then 1 season. I mean, it's still extremely young, and yet all they know is success. You, when you arrived,
yep,
didn't know success.
For sure.
And now we're tasting it again. How do you remind these players, enjoy it? Because if you have a long, long career like everybody hopes, it's not always this way. And to continue to enjoy all the success that the Brewers are having right now.
Yeah, I mean, you see it around the league, I think, right? It's like, that's the first perspective giver, I guess. It's not always green grass and wins. There's somebody has to lose every night too. So what's cool about these guys though is there's no, right, like they're not content. Every guy's out here working. I mean, obviously you saw the leap that Bryce was able to take last year. Nobody would be surprised if you say any of those names and every one of them, or one of them, or two of them take that type of leap, just because of the work that they put in, starting now, really in spring, but also throughout the year. So that's really cool for me to see, as somebody that has seen some bad baseball and been on some bad baseball teams. It tends to, guys tend to lose some wind in their sails, and then the work kind of stops or becomes inconsistent, and that's when it kind of snowballs on some teams and organizations. But with the staff that we have in place, makes it easy to work, makes it easy to want to work. So I'm excited for these guys really to just to keep on growing. Another name that you didn't mention, but Garrett Mitchell really is another guy that I think a lot of us are looking at taking a huge step this year. You can see it anytime this guy's on the field. We just got to figure out how to keep him on the field. So, Mark said it really, like there's such an infusion of young talent on this team. And really, I think as they go, we're going to go.
When the team gets together, and you mentioned Mark's meeting, and you mentioned Murph, you know, kind of having the floor. When you sit there and listen, I mean, I know for an experienced guy like you, like you've heard these speeches before, and sometimes they're a little different. Sometimes there's a slight tweak to them. What is different, if there is a difference, about this year's message versus last year's message?
I mean, this was kind of Murph's point this year when he spoke to us, but like, there's not really a huge need for it to be different, right? Like, we're still kind of looked at as unproven and maybe underrated and overlooked. We lost, obviously, a couple huge pieces that have been a huge part of this organization's success over the last 4 or 5 years. But that doesn't mean that we're not in a position, I think, to compete every night. Teams may not know who we have, but teams will feel us on a nightly basis. And that was something I think that we really preached last year. And if you saw the product on the field every night. We play the right way. We play hard. And that's something that tends to show up over the long haul, like I've said already. We thrive on pressure. Thrive on putting pressure on teams. And Murph's message was that. It was just exactly that. Like, we found some success of trying to be uncommon in that sense, and there's no reason why we can't try to repeat that. So in a sense, it was different because it was kind of the same this year. And I think that he's got a really good point with that.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Let's get ready to wrap things up here, though, too. And to your point about being intense and thriving in pressure and these teams will feel us, I just think back to opening weekend, man, and you setting the tone. I mean, the reaction that it all became, was it overblown? Maybe. But I think, and Garrett told this to me on our podcast, where it was, oh, all right, set the tone real quick. Like, we're not underdogs. We can play with the big boys, as the Mets stole all the headlines this past offseason. And, you know, you're playing hard-nosed baseball. You're playing the game as it was meant to be played. And if the big market team is already flustered by that, you've got them where you want them. Now, ultimately, they had the trump card at the very end of the season.
Sure.
But do you agree that you were a part of setting that tone in the beginning of the year last year in New York?
I would like to, right? But again, right, like that's something that might now be uncommon. And if that's what it takes to, you know, to prove it to ourselves, to kind of band together as a team, to show that, you know, we're ready night in and night out to compete, to do whatever it takes to win, then I think we have a group of, you know, 40 guys in that clubhouse that are ready to step up and do that. And that's what makes a Brewer special.
As you enter this season, you exercise your option, which is your right. You've earned that. And now you potentially get ready for free agency once again. And I know it didn't go the way you wanted to the first time in regards to coming off an ACL, having seen what's happened to the first base market. Obviously, you want to perform. Obviously, the Brewers want you to perform. But what will you most focus on as to say, I will have a successful season if fill in the blank?
If I'm on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm on the field. You know, I've already touched on a few, I think, pretty big key points for me was that I had pretty much a full year after a major injury. There's obviously a physical side to that, but I think more importantly, there's a mental side to that. And I had a full offseason really to kind of get after some training that I hadn't had in 3, 4, 5 years. I'm a familiar face now here instead of being the new guy. And that just, I think, you know, all of that puts me in a position to be ready to be the Rhys Hoskins that I have been throughout my career. and ready to be a part of a winning team.
It's a fantastic answer. I think it's all you can really ask for. Yeah, this game's hard enough.
For sure, right? Like, and I think that's true for a lot of guys, right? If you're on the field every day, that's the best chance for the talent that we all have to come out over the long season.
On a lighter note, one thing I'm trying to do in these longer form interviews is turn the mics, as in you understand the media side of the world. You understand what we're trying to do. Do you have any questions for me? I know you haven't done a job interview in a very long time.
Sure.
I think we ask you guys so many questions. It can be about anything, media world, my life, whatever. Sure. Like, you have any questions for me as we'll wrap it up with that?
Okay. I'll kind of pin some questions that, you know, we tend to get asked, like, why do you think that we are able to have, you know, success on a pretty consistent basis here? I guess specifically about last year is something that I was a part of, but what do you see from, you know, your magic box up there?
The ivory tower.
About why, you know, why we're able to win as many games as we do.
I see a team that is going back to a formula that worked. We saw teams in the 80s. Now, granted, there's no more AstroTurf concrete. You hit a chopper and you're guaranteed a single. But we now see teams that have value to put the ball in play, that have value in defense, especially in the new shifting era that we're in now. And furthermore, if you're not going to hit homers, you got to do something else well. And what the Brewers do well is they steal bags. And you stole a couple. I'm not leaving you out of this conversation.
More than zero.
But I said this on my show last night, where everyone talks about homers. In fact, this team was third, I think, in all of Major League Baseball in homers in 2022, and they missed the playoffs. You know, your team snuck in there at the end.
Yep.
And you hit a ton of homers that season, too. And it's just like, if it was one formula, we would have figured it out. Now, I'm not saying the Dodgers and Yankees don't hit homers. They certainly do. But if you're not going to do that, you do something else well. And, oh, by the way, they develop their own pitching.
Sure.
They develop their own system with the bullpen. They have found a way to make that work. And people just want to keep riding off Milwaukee, that's fine. We'll see you in August when you're looking up at the standings, like, oh, they made another savvy trade. They're in first place in their division. Why are we acting surprised? That's how I feel, because, as you know, we're down here. I mean, Todd and Adam and I, we're looking at each other like, why are they continue to doubt this team? They just won 93 games, it's just so odd to me. It really is.
I've talked to a few, you know, I guess more national writers, and I think they're even kind of willing to admit it at the end of the year. It's like, well, I don't really know why we talked about the Brewers the way we did at the beginning of the season. But here they are. Here we are again, kind of in the same role this year of being a little bit overlooked. They lost some players. Being an underdog is not a bad role to be in, though. And I think, you know, we as a team embrace that. So I appreciate your perspective.
Yeah, that's all I need, man. I think it's a fun team. You guys are very forthcoming with the media, so we appreciate that for schmoes like me. And it's a fun brand of baseball to talk about. And what more could you really ask for in this sometimes too negative world of baseball?
For sure.
Where I'm in the boat of, let's talk about all the good stuff that's happening, and then we can fix the bad stuff. But we got to highlight the good before we fix the bad, because I think we're tipped on the scales in the wrong direction.
Sure. It's a tough game. And admittedly, it's one that is easy on TV or can look, and I think it's mostly the player's fault, right? Like, we have a tendency to make things look easier than they are.
Well, that's because you're the best in the world.
But no, I think you're spot on with that, and it's great to hear that it's a fun brand of baseball to watch, because, gosh dang, it's a fun brand of baseball to be a part of.
Thanks for making the time, man. Really
appreciate
this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Have a great season. Stay healthy. And looking forward to maybe doing this again maybe at the end of the season in a parade down Wisconsin Avenue. That'd be cool.
That would be pretty sweet. Thanks, Don.